Welcome to the Oneness Restored podcast, imperfect stories of oneness, justice, and reconciliation. I'm your host, Alejandra Pisania.
And I'm your host, John Oyehoma Egege.
Well, awesome. Yes. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
We're here.
It's a rainy day today.
It's a rainy day. We got our paddle boats out and got here to record. So you might hear a lot of rain in the background.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're doing it. We call it Imperfect Stories of Oneness.
Hey.
Whether it's raining or clear, we're going to go ahead and have these conversations. So I am so glad to be here at this point where we are beginning these conversations, right?
Absolutely.
These conversations about oneness and justice and reconciliation. And I'm so happy to be doing this with you, Nikki.
Likewise, the feeling is definitely mutual, for sure.
Yes. So, why don't you just talk a little bit about even just what you just said, oneness restored, imperfect stories of oneness, justice, reconciliation.
Right. It seems a bit like a loaded, loaded intro, but that's true of what the gospel speaks to, right? Mm-hmm. Their oneness has already been restored through Jesus. The brokenness that has come through sin and the relationship between us and the Lord and us with each other has already been restored by the work that Jesus did on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is live that out well.
Yes. Right? Live it out.
I'm not an English person, English major. I don't know what this would, what it's like, an active passive. I don't know to say oneness.
Passive, yes.
Oneness restored is that it's done already, but now we're trying to live that out. Well.
Yes. Yes, we are. We are in this space where it's already been given to us in Jesus Christ, but it's not yet been fully realized, right? And so how do we live? How do we talk to each other? How do we engage in relationship with one another in this in between space? So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself so people get to know who the hosts of this podcast are.
Yes. So my name is Alejandra Pisania, but I go by Nikki.
All right.
Names. I go by Nikki because growing up, it was hard for people to pronounce Alejandra well.
Yeah.
And so to make it easier for everyone, you know, my mom was just like, and so that they wouldn't butcher my name.
Yes.
My mother was like, just call her Nikki. And it's been a road of like, one, I really love my name, Alejandra, but I feel like I can't really use that in an everyday kind of space. Cause it's almost like it's reserved for like the people in my closest circle, right?
Uh-huh.
Like my mother,
of
like
course.
If my mother, my father call me Alejandra, I'm in trouble.
Something's up.
Something is not
right.
Something
has happened.
So, my name is Alejandra, but I go by Nikki. Mm-hmm. I'm a Mexican American. My father's from Mexico City.
Okay.
And my mother is like, second, third generation Mexican American.
Okay.
And that's the context in which I grew up in.
Yeah.
So a household that was very aware of our identity.
Yes.
While at the same time going to schools like Pleasantville Elementary, which is a predominantly Black school here in Houston.
Okay.
And so I would come home singing, I'm Black, I'm proud. And my mama would be like,
No, you're not.
And I'm like, okay. And, you know, like in singing like the National Black Anthem or the Black National Anthem and things like that. Like those things are really ingrained in me.
Okay.
So I would come home and my mom would be like, yes, those things are beautiful, mijita, but you're very Mexican. And she was, you know, both my parents were very intentional about raising us in a way that celebrated who we were in that sense, for
That's
sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for giving a little intro to who you are. I actually have a pretty similar story as well. So my names are John Oyehoma Egege, and Oyehoma is the name that I kind of tried to get into my formal documents. It's my middle name on all my formal documents.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful name. It means children are a blessing.
Wow.
I think maybe when I turned 5, my parents wanted to reconsider that name because I became a troublemaker. But They're like, this guy's not so much of a blessing.
Like,
but
oh, no.
Mistake. But you know, like I've really kind of had this journey with my first name, John, right?
Okay.
You know, John, of course, it's a biblical name in English that my parents kind of felt they wanted to give to me. But it's a name that I have kind of struggled to really embrace in a very, very full way that celebrates it. One, it doesn't connect me to my culture.
Okay.
Right, in a way that's strong and deep. And another way, John, it's like, hey, you guys could have named me like Lawrence or a unique English name. You went ahead and chose John, the most boring English name. But it's really interesting because
it's a strong
name. But because I've lived and I've worked most of my time in the US in African American neighborhoods, it's actually a pretty unique name. Weird, but you know, I enter into spaces and you say the name John and people are typically talking about like only a few people, right? You know, so the spaces that I kind of roll in my work and in my neighborhood, like John's a pretty unique name. But I grew up in Nigeria, and so even if you ask me today what my identity is, culturally I would say I'm Nigerian. Racially I would say I'm Black. But ethnically, like I would even go down to the actual people group that my father is from, which is the Idoma people group in Nigeria. So I would say ethnically, I'm actually Idoma, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just a deep sense of connection to the place where my dad is from and can trace generations of his people too.
Yeah.
And so
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful to see how, like our names really reflect a lot of who we are beyond just like the sticker
the marker.
It's like such deep connections to our cultural upbringings, our ethnic ties and racial connections. It's really interesting.
Yeah, no, that's great. So why this podcast? Like what's the purpose of this podcast? What are some things that we're trying to
That's a great question, John. You tell
podcast.
Me. No,
just no, you tell me. I'm asking the questions here.
Oh, yeah. Hey. It's like, why do this?
Uh-huh.
These are hard conversations.
These are hard conversations
it's
to have.
Easy.
They are hard conversations to hear. So, like, what's important about actually delving into such uncomfortable conversations about race and about ethnicity and about justice? Why have these conversations?
I think it is important to have these conversations because, one, we love our neighbor well in this. We love the people that we do community well with this.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, it's a reflection of our worship to the Lord.
Okay.
So the way, right, it's like love God, love people.
Yeah.
Because we love the Lord, we love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that is inviting each other to hear one another's stories.
Yes.
And sometimes those stories revolve around racial issues, justice issues, identity issues, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to have these conversations. And when we don't, we kind of say, that part of your story we don't really want to hear. We just want to make it easier for everyone if we just kind of only touch on the things that we have in common.
Yeah.
And so this is like a deeper layer of loving one another well.
Yeah.
To have these conversations.
Amen.
And we're modeling what that looks like for the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
How that works, how it doesn't work.
How it doesn't work, yes. Learn from our mistakes, too.
We definitely have a lot of mistakes in this process. It's because it's not easy. It's a lot of learning from one another and then learning how to say you're sorry and learning how to forgive.
Yes, yes.
That's why I think this is an important thing to do.
Amen.
And in a church like ours, it's so diverse socially, economically, racially, politically, theologically as well.
Of course, yes.
It's almost like never addressing the elephant in the room when we don't have these conversations, and that kind of stuff makes me very uncomfortable.
Yes. There's discomfort when we talk about it, and there's discomfort when we don't talk about it, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah, like I think a lot about, you know, just even that idea of oneness, right? That this is what Jesus prayed for his church, mm-hmm. right? You know, that that his church would be one. And we talk a lot, you and I have talked about this idea of like oneness and not sameness,
right?
Unity yeah. and not uniformity, right? Right. So how yeah. do we enter into a space where we truly live into that desire that Jesus has for everyone who believes in him to really be one, to be united, not just in any kind of oneness, but he talks about the oneness between him and the Father, like that kind right. of radical yes. love, that good. Unity yeah. and oneness is the same thing that Jesus prays for us. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that mm-hmm. we can do that, right? And part of being able to do that is sitting in community in very uncomfortable spaces
right.
and having these conversations and just learning to love one another through the conversations and to learn and to grow. So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about oneness, justice, reconciliation.
Right.
I'm excited for the imperfections
yes.
of these conversations. I'm excited for yes. the imperfections that have led to this conversation.
Yeah.
And so we're going to learn. Yeah, we're going to learn yeah. to just kind of embrace those imperfections and learn to grow
right.
as we have conversations.
Yeah.
So one thing we're doing with these conversations is we actually want most of the conversations to be centered on mm-hmm. the actual stories and experiences of actual people.
Right.
In our congregation.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about like why that's important. Just that idea of like centering the stories of actual people when we're talking about things that can seem like disembodied ideas.
Well, yeah, because when we talk about a lot of like, especially like racial stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of political stuff, you don't think about the face that comes with these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to hear from a person you're in community with, you do life with,
mm-hmm.
real life stories. They're not a number and a statistic. They're real people, and real people that we have all said we love,
mm-hmm.
if not for anything else, but because they also follow Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, at the very
least. That's a strong foundational reason.
Exactly, right? And we'll get into that later mm-hmm. in our conversation
yeah.
with Brandon about image bearing. But when we think about these conversations in a very theoretical way, in ways that we don't see how it impacts the one.
Yeah.
Like, it can be damaging in the way that we engage in those mm-hmm. conversations.
Yeah.
And it's a really beautiful gift actually to be in a community that's like ours.
Yeah.
And we get to hear from very different perspectives.
Yeah.
And very different stories.
Yeah.
And those are good gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stories yeah. are definitely good gifts. God is at work in those stories.
Absolutely.
God is at work in those experiences. And so, yeah, we're excited to start this journey.
Yeah.
We are not going to provide all the answers at the end of this. This is a conversation starter.
I think that's what's going to be difficult for
yeah.
a lot of folks as they listen to these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're going to want an answer, a resolution at the very end of
mm-hmm.
each episode. And that's just not how this works. Just
yeah.
like our walk with Jesus isn't like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our walk with Jesus is an ongoing glory
Amen.
To glory to glory
yes.
transformation that happens.
Amen.
And it's going to reflect that in these
mm-hmm.
conversations. And that's what is beautiful about being able to step into the discomfort of these conversations. We're asking people to do a lot by saying, I got to hear a person's stories that I may not agree with, or
yeah.
position I don't agree with,
mm-hmm.
or I think it's totally wrong. The beauty of stepping out in that discomfort is knowing, is being comforted in the fact that God is walking with us through this discomfort.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think oftentimes I will speak personally. The discomfort can be too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. I can't deal.
I
cannot handle this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just ready to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm ready to not be in this conversation right now because
yeah.
I just can't handle. And there's wisdom in when and how and where to engage in some of these conversations. But when you do, the discomfort that you're feeling and that pulling or that
mm-hmm.
stretching that happens,
yeah.
it's be comforted in knowing that God is walking with you in that
yeah.
process.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So yeah, we invite everyone who listens to this, stay curious, be courageous, mm-hmm. step into these very imperfect stories and conversations, and, you know, keep the conversation going.
Yeah. And I think these, again, we talk about this. We'll talk about this probably in every episode. Mm-hmm. Like, these are conversation starters. And I hope that at the end of each episode, the resolve that you have is that you're empowered to now maybe go speak to somebody who you're doing close life with, who might have a similar story to the one that was shared today, and be empowered to say, hey, I heard this podcast, you know, they started talking about blah, 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 you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat similar to your story. I want to hear your perspective. And I'm hoping those kind of conversations come from this.
Amen.
Because that's how we grow even more, right?
That's how we grow. So, yeah, that's how we grow. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's step into some difficult and uncomfortable and courageous and imperfect conversations.
Amen. All right. Well, welcome, Brandon. We're happy to have you in this conversation, this discussion.
Yes. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Well, Brandon, we, again, are excited to have you here. But one of the reasons we really appreciate having your voice on the podcast, well, there are a couple different reasons. One of them is I like to call you an OG at City of Refuge. You know, we're the rest of us who are left here, it's a pretty young kind of membership at the church, but you've been here for a while and you've served on staff, so you have a really good memory of City of Refuge. But I think another reason is you talk a lot about image bearing, and that's one of the themes that we're kind of going to be talking about on the episode today. So before we get into image bearing, I was wondering if you could just tell us about how you identify, whether if that's racially, ethnically, or culturally, and just any other connections that you'd like to make around that.
Sure. So I am white. I'm Western European in descent. So my last name, Freemian, it's actually French in origin. Okay. And I think one of my great uncles once did a project looking at my ancestry, and it's, you know, French, German, English. You know, I like to joke that it's, you know, the whole 30 years war, basically, somewhere in my background. So that's
all of your.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of another follow-up question to that is we talk a lot about created goodness, how we celebrate the way that God has uniquely created us. And so could you tell us a little bit about some things that you think about when you think about just some goodness about who God has uniquely created you to be and who God is continuing to uniquely create you to be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and one that I frankly have had to wrestle a lot with, particularly in the last couple of years. I think I had the experience of a lot of people who have grown up kind of in majority culture that I didn't necessarily know what was unique about. Well, you know, the fact that I was white and what was kind of some of the cultural attributes of that. And I think when I first began to be exposed to what it, you know, what whiteness was and that kind of a thing, it wasn't necessarily in a positive light, right? And so there has been a lot of wrestling in the last couple of years with, okay, what is good? Like, and I think foundationally where I start with that isn't so much in a particular attribute. I mean, there's things that I very much value about the culture I grew up in, but that I start in a place of that God has made me this way. It's good definitionally because it's the way God has made me.
Right.
And I think that has been the place that I have really started in terms of what is good, is that kind of creational foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I look at sort of the church culture I grew up in, the culture I grew up in terms of what are things I can look back on as real positives.
Yeah.
And again, this is not something that is only unique, I think, to white culture or white church culture, but I think there is a real value on the authority of scripture and of education, of knowing the word well. I think there's a real emphasis in white worship of doing things that are in a way that is pleasing to God. There's like an understanding of we want to do things right and well. And that's something I can look back on and have an appreciation for, that those were kind of some things that, you know, were characteristic of my upbringing. There's a lot more there, but that's at least a place to start.
Now, it's interesting. You said majority culture. I'm sure somebody hears that and they're like, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for you, Brandon?
Yeah. So, again, that was something that is, this is language that I guess I have picked up sort of from the culture as of late, but it is the idea that right now, if you just look at the statistics in terms of people that would be considered white, mm-hmm. we are the majority. There are more of us numerically, but that also has some cultural implications. That a lot of what has been considered sort of normal culture, has been identified with what kind of white people experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when I say majority culture, that's what I'm referring to.
Okay, that's great.
There may be some nuance to that. That
There's always nuance.
Always nuance. Right? Yeah. But again, this is a conversation where, you know, your perspective is kind of what we're engaging today.
Sure.
So thank you for sharing that. So I want to just ask you a question about Imago Dei and have us like have a conversation about that being created in the image of God. And you talk a lot about image bearing, right? It shows up in your sermons. It shows up as you teach Sunday school.
Yes, people are probably a little tired of me talking about it.
Why don't you just give us a little taste about, like, when you talk about image bearing and this idea of oneness, justice, and reconciliation, what would you say image bearing is, and how does it sort of connect with the conversations that we're having on the podcast today?
Yeah. Well, if I can have a little digression, like my exploration of image bearing came not as much out of issues of race and ethnicity at first for me. It was actually much more around the issue of work, where I was trying to figure out what was valuable in work. That was a question that I had when I came out of my work as an engineer, which I did before I was on staff here at the church. And I think in my exploration of image bearing, what I found there is that there's a couple places in Scripture where it explicitly says, hey, this is how you're supposed to be like God. You know, in most of the places when people try to be like God, they're trying to image God. It doesn't go well. Like Adam and Eve is a perfect example, right? They want to be like God, and they end up getting kicked out of the garden. Like, it's not pretty. But there's two places that in particular where it talks about us imaging God. One is in Sabbath, but in particular where it talks about you are to be holy as I am holy, right? That there are certain characteristics, certain attributes of God's character that we have this unique opportunity to image. And I think that has a lot of implications with regards to work, certainly. But I also think it has applications for sort of how we have grown up culturally, which is affected by our race, our ethnicity, our family backgrounds, all of those things, that I think just by virtue of our uniqueness, there's certain aspects of who God is and his character that sort of just manifest themselves more naturally and show up in sort of distinct ways because of our background, our racial, ethnic backgrounds, our family backgrounds. And so I think that that's something that's very beautiful about the way that God has created us and the unique ways that he's created us, is that that ends up manifesting in these different ways that we show God's character into the world.
Mm-hmm. That's good,
so I'm curious for you all, how have you sort of encountered image bearing, and how has that informed kind of your stories as well?
Yeah. I'll go first because, every time I think of, you know, so classic Genesis chapter 1, where God creates, and I think of image bearing, like that's kind of where it starts for me, right? This idea of being created in the image of God, and the fact that God is a triune God in our faith, right? A God who is God in three persons, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's this idea of community, right? The idea of community is always the central idea. And image bearing for me, because it points to a God who is love, has created out of love, and has created people in his image, male and female, for love and to love others. And so there is a sense in which I cannot fully bear God's image if I'm not doing that in community with my brothers and sisters, because none of us in our cultures or in our identities like fully image God, right? It's only when we are together that we can even reflect a little bit of God's image out to the world. One of my favorite speakers, his name is Ravi Zacharias, and he tells a story from scripture. It's a story of Jesus when people are asking, hey, should we give money to the government, right? Should we pay taxes? And he asks for a coin. Jesus asks for a coin and says, whose image is on this coin? And they say it's Caesar's. So he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And Ravi's kind of point in there is that there's an implicit question that Jesus is throwing back at the people who ask him that question. And it's, whose image is on you, right? Whose image is on this coin? It's Caesar's. Whose image is on you? It's God's, right? So give to God your whole life and your whole being as a way of serving God, but also as a way of reflecting God in the world.
Yeah, right? That's good.
I like to think about it that way.
Yeah, for me, it's been a... it's been interesting because growing up as a woman in the church, oftentimes my gender can feel a little bit like a liability of sorts. Well, I can only show up in certain spaces, or I can become problematic if another person isn't in the room, right? But when I think about Genesis 1 and recognizing that I too bear the image of God, but as a woman, right? It's an empowering feeling. And so some of the burdens, so to speak, that a woman might have in the church, like that goes away when recognizing walking out your image bearer self well. And in addition to that, and something that I'm still learning and unfolding, is what does that mean for like how I show up in spaces? How do I use my voice and things like that? Kathy Kong's book, Raise Your Voice, kind of talks about this with like the way we use our voice, the way we speak to things is part of our image bearing responsibilities, but also capabilities and empowerment. So it's been a road. It's been a journey of understanding Imago Dei for me. I feel like it's just going to be a constant pulling back the layers of what that means for sure.
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts, Brandon, about just our church, right? You know, so we're having this conversation within a specific context, right? And that context is City of Refuge. So I wanted to maybe just ask you to paint a picture of our church, and then Nikki and I will also just kind of chime in and talk a little bit about the context in which we're actually having these conversations about oneness, justice, and reconciliation.
Sure. So I guess just to kind of sum up our church a little bit, like how I see it right now. So I think one of the things I love about our congregation is that if you come here on a Sunday morning, you're going to see people that have come from all sorts of different backgrounds, the different ethnic backgrounds, different racial backgrounds. We have a lot of people coming from international. We got a lot of international students, people who have come from other countries, people who aren't citizens here. Yeah. And so that presents a unique opportunity and a unique challenge as a church, right?
Of course, yes.
You know, I think the unique opportunity is that conversations like this aren't theoretical, right? We have to have conversations like this because we're in life together.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that I think is important about this idea of both our created goodness and the image bearing is that shapes how my starting place when it comes to relationships with people that are different than me.
Right. Yeah.
Because I have to start by agreeing with God that they are created.
Hey, you better agree with, agree with God. Yes.
Yes. and also then begin looking for the places that we can image God better together in community, as you were talking about, as well as also just kind of learning from others. Because they often see God in ways that are just blind spots to me, or mm-hmm. or ways that are just fuller than what I can see.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opportunity that we have here, but that also I think presents a challenge, is because mm-hmm. it is one thing for us to kind of show up together on a Sunday morning and worship together, which is a beautiful thing that mm-hmm. I love. And almost everyone I've talked to that has visited our church, you know, loves that about our community. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's that challenge then to go deeper than that, mm-hmm. to not just let it be something that's here on Sunday morning, but there's like real relationships there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's like, we've talked a little bit about this shameless plug to our Psalms podcast thing that we did 2 summers ago now, but we talked about this when we did, I can't even remember which Psalm it was, but what we did was we connected a song that we listened to with the psalm it was based around. Okay. And one of these was a song by Kurt Carr, which is a gospel artist. And, you know, I just remember the conversation around that and how the way Kurt Carr set that psalm to music was a very different way that Brandon, I don't want to speak for you, but Brandon had read that psalm before, right? Mm, yeah. So there's that, like an example of how, like the richness that comes when doing life together with people who are just very different than you, for sure.
Yeah.
It's
not easy.
No,
it's constantly challenging.
Yeah. But Brandon, I like what you said about, you know, not just looking at what happens on Sunday morning. And I think that's sort of one of those challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also those places where, you know, our church is still looking to grow, right? To say, what does it mean for our church to truly be about reconciliation throughout the week and not just on Sunday mornings? What does it look like for our dining tables to also reflect the diversity that we see here in our church on Sunday mornings? And that's the challenge. And that's sort of a lot of growing that we have to do. I think another thing that I've always reflected on is just how do we become a space where people can fully show up as who they are and who God has uniquely created them to be, and not expect people to show up in a way that's just sort of like, well, come into this space, but be like everybody else in this space, but that celebrates the uniqueness and the created goodness of who God has uniquely created us to be, the gifts, the skills, the perspectives that He gives us, and how we image God best together when all of those things are on full display and are valued as assets to our church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think on top of all that, I think there's also been the hope, I don't know, that not that we're there yet, but that we would eventually be a church along with other churches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That would be modeling.
Yeah.
How do we have unity across these things that, I mean, culturally right now seem to be so divided.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we stand in a place where, I mean, we have Christ unifying us together, right? In the most fundamental things, the most important things in terms of who God is and how we are saved, like we share that in common.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so shouldn't it be the case that the church would be the place that people could look to see what it really looks like for people to dwell in unity and love across racial and socioeconomic and ethnic lines?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something too that I see our church really striving for, wanting to be. And that's why I'm excited to see our church really taking up the mantle of kind of wrestling with some of these harder and deeper questions about what it means to be unified together.
And I think what you said of like, if I agree with the Lord, if I agree with God,
that's your starting point.
That this person over here, because image bearing is not, you're an image bearer, whether or not you believe in Jesus or not. That's what our understanding of image bearing means. As long as God created you, you are an image bearer. If we're starting from there, in addition to the unifying power of the blood of Jesus, like, we should have a huge leg up on folks.
We should.
And but I think that's a really great start because if we're able to model that in the church, and if that person is like so like diametrically opposed to like my beliefs and how this interpretation of scripture is, I can still say I love this person because I love the image that he bears or she bears, in addition to the richness that she brings to the conversation and how it edifies me. And it's not a threat. It's not a combative discussion. It's a, how does this benefit the body? And if we look at it in that way, it's a different, way different posture. And when talking about some of these things that are incredibly difficult to talk about, it's like, let's just be very honest how difficult it is to talk about it. If we start from there, it creates a better posture when entering in those conversations. And then it, I feel like, and I need to get away from saying that because I feel like it's just like a bad way to say something.
Be bold, Nikki.
In addition to creating like a really good posture, it helps us move forward when we have to leave space for grace in conversations. And it also helps us move forward when we have to move to forgiveness in a better, in an easier route than coming from that person don't like, they're not part of me. We're not in this together. Obviously, they're against me. They're my enemy. But if we come at it from, they're also my image, an image bearer of the Lord. It just says, I am an image bearer of the Lord. In addition to that, we're family that's bonded by the blood of Jesus. Okay, how do I move forward to forgiveness, reconciliation, all those things?
Amen.
Yeah. Though I think I would add to that, like, to there is sort of something intrinsic about image bearing in terms of just something God has created us to be. But there's also, I think, an aspect of it if we're thinking about image bearing with regards to that reflecting God's character. Like, I love NT's right image of like God sticking us like an angled mirror in the world that we're supposed to reflect God's character into the world, and we're supposed to sum up the praises of creation and offer them up to God, right? Doing that as God intends requires a righteousness that's not our own, right? That requires Christ. Like, so although God has given, I think has made all of us in his image and given us the capacity to bear his image in terms of reflecting his character. Like that's the piece of it that we have as the church, right?
Is that
we have the redemption of Christ. We have the model of Christ and his life to live off of. And so I think, I love something you talked about, John, was the communal aspect of this, right? That image bearing isn't just an individual thing, it's a corporate thing. And so when we have, when we're a community that is coming from all sorts of different backgrounds, how we live together is telling a story, right? And are we telling the story in which every tribe, tongue, and nation is someday gathered before the throne as one people?
Right.
Like, that's the story we're supposed to be telling. And that says something about the power of God to bring people together and to unify. And if we aren't doing that, it's not just that we are being disunified as a church. We are actually lying about the God we serve, right?
Yes.
And so,
I feel that's why this is
really important. Like, it is not... It is about us. It is important that it is about us. It's about our church. But fundamentally, what it is about is about the worship and glory of God. And if we are telling what is true about him.
Amen.
I'm going to get off my soapbox now. But that, that's why great. I love image bearing, and why I think it's so important here is because, like it or not, in how we come together and how we treat each other across racial and ethnic and socioeconomic lines is telling a story about who God is.
Amen.
I love that. There's just such a, it is so important to think about image bearing in a communal way. Because then it's no longer, well, I didn't do that. I didn't say this. Or I didn't act on this. But communally, like, how are we showing up? That's really great, Brandon. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me ask a slightly tense question.
please do.
About image bearing in our church, right? You know, so I think one of the things about churches that are as diverse as ours is that we can become proud. Our quest for image bearing and our quest for diversity and reconciliation can kind of become all about us, in a way that blinds us from actually looking out and seeing other image bearers who may not be as diverse as our church still bearing God's image in ways that are right. very deep and ways that we can actually learn from. So
yes.
my question is, does every church that bears the image of God communally have to look like ours?
Oh, I would absolutely say no. Okay. There's a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. When you think about the immigrant church and how like immigrant churches that may not be diverse the way we are still like a place of refuge for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a perfect example of why like homogeneous churches need to exist. Mm-hmm. So no. Not all churches need to be like us. Yeah. And like, just because we look diverse also doesn't make us like the perfect example mm-hmm. of image bearing as a body yeah. either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
that's how about just, you, Brandon? What do you think about that?
Thanks, Nikki.
I think I largely agree with Nikki. I think the why is really important. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, one of the characteristics about our church, we are in Houston. We sit right between the medical center, which is a very ethnically and socioeconomic diverse part of Houston, mostly upwardly mobile, but mm-hmm. people coming from all over the world. Mm-hmm. We sit between that and kind of the Third Ward, South Union area, which is a predominantly African-American population. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was important is that we reflect our neighborhood,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And so I think I agree with Nikki. There's certainly a time and a place when pursuing the diversity as we have is maybe not what your church needs to be doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you look around your neighborhood, the place where your church is, and it's not a reflection uh-huh. of your city, and it's not a reflection of your neighborhood. I mean, Houston is... Now I think the most diverse city in the United States.
That's right,
right?
New York. Yeah, we just right. beat you.
So again, I don't necessarily think that I would sit there and wag a finger at a church that isn't doing this, but I do think there would need to be a question about why.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why does your church not reflect your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
And there may be good reasons for it, but there also may be something there in terms of a willingness to really create a space that is open to others.
Yeah.
So I may be not quite as sympathetic as Nikki, but I
We're
do
coming
agree.
From different perspectives.
Different perspectives. Yeah. Yes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know whenever I think about that question, right, I also think about like who is leaving their space of comfort to be a part of a diverse
right.
body
sure.
too,
oh,
right?
Yes.
You know, because a lot of times we don't see people leaving, like English speakers leaving to become a part of a Spanish speaking congregation to say, well, right. this is how this congregation becomes more diverse, or
right.
mm-hmm. people leaving a majority kind of culture and saying, I'm going to place myself under the authority and leadership of an African-American pastor. And that's how that church kind of becomes more diverse, but is still immersed in these very beautiful cultural expressions of Christianity and Christ following and image bearing that I think the church needs, right?
Right. You know,
the church needs to kind of learn from those expressions and being able to gather in a way that creates those unique places of image bearing, I think is important. But yeah. I love City of Refuge. I'm not trying to say...
There's no knock.
Yes, no knock on City of Refuge. But
no. And I think to your point about the possibility for pride and even the possibility for idolatry, I think that's something
Absolutely.
That we have to
yeah.
keep an eye out for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because maintaining diversity, particularly in a country that is as divided as ours,
mm-hmm.
takes a high degree of intentionality. It's
Absolutely.
Something that we have to keep our focus on, we have to keep our attention on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing that while making sure that it is for the glory of God
yes.
and not something that's self- Mm-hmm. edifying and right. self-gratifying only is certainly mm-hmm. an ongoing challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and every church faces that in different capacities,
yeah.
right? Like, we want to keep the status quo of what we've been, right? Making it inhospitable or unopen or closed off to people who are different, right? So, like, and then that becomes the idol. There's just so many ways that is manifested in our churches, for sure.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you so much, Brandon, for joining us in this conversation. This is definitely, it feels like a very start of a conversation.
Yes.
Right? I feel like, I mean, Brandon and I work together, and so we often get to pop in on each other's office and be like, hey, so tell me about blah, 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 blah. We'll yes, have this whole deep theological conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Brandon and I and John, we're always accessible and easily to, you know, contact to continue the conversation of Imago Dei and what that means for, like, everybody that lives out in your context. For sure. Thank you, Brandon, so much for bringing your wisdom.
Thank you again. It's great to be here.
And experience. Oneness Restored is a podcast brought to you by City of Refuge Church in Houston, Texas, and produced by Podastery Studios. To learn more about City of Refuge or to join us for Sunday worship services, you can tune in at 11 a.m. Central at cityofrefuge.org. Our producer for the show is Bo York. Our guest this episode has been Brandon Freemian, and we've been your hosts, Alejandra Pisania and
John Oihoma Igege.
And we look forward to speaking with you again soon on the next Oneness Restored.